Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Last week, Chicago Teachers Union President Stacey Davis Gates was elected president of the Illinois Federation of Teachers. That's the union that represents school teachers across the state. The vote was unanimous. Since she was first elected head of the Chicago Teachers Union in 2022, she has turned CTU into a potent political force. But she has also courted controversy and has critics in both Chicago and across the country. I'm Rob Hart, and this week on At Issue, we're joined by political editor Jeff Buchholz, who had an hour-long conversation this week with Gates about her new job, COVID school closures, a social media controversy, and her relationship with Mayor Johnson and Governor Pritzker.
WBBM political editor Jeff Buchholz, a pleasure to have you on At Issue. And I have to say, before we begin and talk about your conversation with Stacey Davis Gates, is like you're now like the Roy Kent of of the newsroom. You're for the Ted Lasso fans out there. You're here, you're there, you're everywhere. I mean, I get exhausted just following your schedule as you cover politics in Chicago and Illinois, which many people have said is the ultimate spectator sport in this town.
It's also a context sport. I'm finding, Rob. Yeah, I have been all over the place. And of course, it's just my luck that literally the week that I began as political editor, the president of the United States decided he was going to send the National Guard here. So it has certainly been quite a journey. And I think we're doing the best we can trying to keep people up to speed on everything that's going on.
Now, you had the opportunity this week to have a sit down with Stacey Davis Gates, who is the head of the Chicago Teachers Union and has just been elected president of the Illinois Federation of Teachers. She's been a lightning rod for controversy, but her profile continues to grow.
And in fact, she points out that she received a unanimous vote of the delegates of the IFT to become the president, even though, as she said, when we began our conversation at CTU headquarters over on the Near West Side, that it is not a position that she wanted.
I'll be honest with you. I did not seek it out. So that's the secret to this story. First off, I wanted to fight Dan Montgomery when he told me that he was retiring. And going to the Library Association. The only reason why I didn't choke him is because he's going to the Library Association, and you know, people know how I feel about libraries. Look, Donald Trump has declared war on our city and our state. And thereby doing that, you need people who are leaders. And Dan led our union very well for 15 years. You don't lead for 15 years. That's like five terms without being an effective leader. Randy Weingarten at the AFT is another very effective leader with the same length of time, if you will. We need effective leaders in this moment. And so when he said that he was leaving, I was like, dude, wrong time. And so what are we going to do? So, you know, there are some people who shall remain nameless that were courted that I wanted to support as president. And they turned me down. And the second time they turned me down, because of course you don't just turn me down once, you have to do it multiple times for me to believe you. So the second time it was like, no, you're going to do it. And I was like, you want me divorced? You want like my children on therapist couches saying that their mom was absent? So I resisted and I pushed back because I know the stakes in this moment. But I was compelled. I was organized to the idea of it. And when those leaders were organizing me to the idea of it, they also committed to be in partnership with me as well, because I can't do this by myself. So a very strong team of leaders.
You're the new head of the IFT, of course. You've been part of the statewide union leadership for a while. As you travel around the state, how does your role with CTU play into the reception you get from the bargaining units in Lamont, Downstate, Metro East, whatever?
Great question. It's dimensional, right? It's not one thing. So one of the things being a local leader helps me do is identify very clearly with local leader problems. They know that I'm experiencing bully principals at the same time I'm experiencing a district that doesn't have enough revenue. So something that's very micro to something that's very macro. They understand that I understand what layoffs feel like, you know, every spring and summer. So there's a legitimacy to my leadership that I think that they respect. I also know that they know I'm a badass, and that I'm gonna fight for our members and our students and all of our families in this state. And they know that because there are so many receipts of that. So that's a benefit. And, you know, conversely, you know, media hasn't figured out how to cover a strong Black female leader. And so sometimes there's laziness in word choice. Sometimes it lacks thorough dimensional analysis. And so they get a caricature of my leadership in headlines or in sound bites. And so they will admit, like, yo, you know, what do I say about this? I say, tell them your experience with me. I say, invite me down and let me meet them. Look, we're living in a time period where folks are telling us that we don't have similarities, that we don't have commonalities, that we're not having the same lived experience. But I'll tell you, as a 48-year-old woman with 3 children, 2 bonus children, and a husband, the conversations that I have with my white girlfriends and the conversations that I have with my Latina girlfriends, my Asian girlfriends, and my Black girlfriends, it's always about the hot flashes at night, the socks that are on the stairs, and the insanity of our schedules, right? Our kids, our husbands, our partners, our schedules. And so because I know that, I know that we can create demands and practice solidarity. I actually think that the only way America is going to make it through this test of our democracy that we're experiencing right now is if labor unions step up. Labor unions are multiracial, they are multi-generational. Women lead, men lead, you know, we say sister, brother, sibling. So it's a catch-all for everyone. If we can figure out how to go on strike with each other and win things for each other, if we can figure out how to bargain contracts that enable us to send our kids to school, then that should be the example for how Americans can get past this moment as well. I don't have to figure it out. I get to work it out. And that's what labor gives us an opportunity to do.
Now, Stacey Davis Gates is very much a power broker politically. The Chicago Teachers Union provided the muscle to push Brandon Johnson over the line in the runoff election in 2023. Talk a little bit about the relationship that she has with the mayor then and now.
Well, of course, the two of them are both teachers. They were both social studies teachers, and they both have been part of the CTU cinematic universe for some time. He was an organizer. She was the CTU's top lobbyist for a period of time. And one of the things that we talked about during our conversation was the moment in 2023, and Rob, you and I were working election night that night, when Brandon Johnson was declared the winner in the runoff over former school CEO Paul Vallis.
What were you feeling that night? Talk about what was happening. Talk about what that election of a former teacher, recovering CTU organizer, as the city's mayor, meant for you personally, Stacey Davis Gates, and also for public school education in Chicago.
Ooh, that moment was so emotional. So the first moment I thought, my grandmothers, I talk about them a lot because they've been very influential in who I've become. And I just think about both of them coming to Chicago on their way to South Bend, Indiana. And what would they think of this moment, right? So I always like lament their absence in moments like that. And then I thought about Karen Lewis, because Karen Lewis put the idea of Brandon Johnson, leader, teacher, as mayor of Chicago, in focus, because it was supposed to be her, right? So in 2014, a news publication publishes a poll that says that she could win. And she said, okay, not because she wanted to be mayor of Chicago, because in fact, I can report she did not. She did not. And, you know, as life would, you know, have it, it didn't happen anyway. But I think about her leadership, and that this woman figured out how to lead an institution very differently than it had been led ever, in an industry that wasn't clear on even what common good bargaining was or social justice unionism was. And that in, what was that, 2023? In 13 years, her leadership, helped to birth that. A black woman in South Side of Chicago, CPS student, that is some power. And then we deserve Brandon Johnson in the city of Chicago, so I was happy for us. And today, I think more Chicagoans understand why I was that happy. He protects, he supports, and he invests. He is a very kind individual, and I think people are engaging on how his values are reflected in his, in the bigness, if you will, of his leadership in this moment. And I wouldn't want anyone else at the helm of this city when the president has declared war. I trust him to protect people and to make the value of our safety and protection first. And I think that's what we need. And I'm grateful for that leadership, especially now.
How often do you talk to the mayor?
You know, he's the mayor of the city of Chicago.
I've heard.
Yeah. The biggest transition was, I think, the fact that he's the mayor of the city of Chicago, which means he's not an organizer at CTU. Which means that he has to talk to Stacey Davis Gates everywhere. So he has less time to talk, you know what I mean? And I don't want to talk about work. I want to talk about our three kids and their milestones. And like, his son is a year older than my son. And so my son is alive today because he told me he won't be crazy always, because he already experienced that age. You know what I mean? Like, those are the things that he and I talked about. But, you know, the city of Chicago gets in the way of that.
As you stood on that stage 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, did you, and you've already said, I didn't want to be the head of the Illinois Federation of Teachers. I was pretty much forced to do this. I was voluntold that I had to do this. Did you at some point, as you stood on that stage, think this could be something I could do for me, that you could run for office one day?
Is
that something to which you aspire?
No, I never thought that, because I've never wanted that. The best job that I've had at the Chicago Teachers Union was being its political and legislative director. I had so much fun taking risks that no one had to hold in my department, right? This position makes you accountable for all of it. And the way in which we are growing power to create smaller class sizes, power to create safe schools where queer children and trans children are welcome. That power holds a lot of promise and a lot of accountability.
What are her thoughts a couple of years removed on the CTU response to COVID?
Yeah, it's interesting. I had intended to ask her about COVID when we sat down for our conversation, but we were having a discussion.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Discussion about leadership and the importance of union leadership particularly this time in our history. And she's the one who brought up the pandemic.
COVID tested everything that I thought I understood about everything. The most important thing that we were able to center because of our power was the humanity and the mortality of our members, their families, our students, and their families. And that's when I felt like it mattered to build power, because people were able to have safety guidelines. And you remember, there were workplaces that had no safety guidelines, where the bosses wouldn't even engage on those issues. So to have a union that made a way for all of us in that moment, it felt good. And it felt just as good last Thursday when we have a mayor who can invest in parks, libraries, and schools. That's a teacher's dream, at least me, you know, one who loves the library.
I want to talk, you mentioned COVID, and I wanted to talk a little bit about it. I have seen, and I know you have as well, criticism 5 years on.
For sure.
From parents who say, oh, we should never have closed school. COVID wasn't that big a deal. The learning loss was a huge deal that schools are still trying to overcome,
for
as
sure.
You know. Where do you sit with that kind of criticism and that kind of, you know, sort of questions about why did we close schools because kids are now so far behind?
Well, so here's the thing that I don't do. I don't make it flat. COVID was a once in a generation pandemic where we lost, what, over 1 million people? So it wasn't one thing. What COVID helped us to see was the great disparities that we were dealing with, even just in the Chicago public schools, who had HVAC, who didn't have, you know, good HVAC, whose group of teachers were immune compromised and who had a young set of teachers. There was zero easy decisions. And at the time, we didn't have a lot of partnership with our mayor. So that also made it difficult. I will say that I've never seen people, even when we were opposed, work harder to keep people safe. I've never experienced the level of solidarity that I did during that time, and love and urgency. And I think that's what's helped our union be more unified, because we took care of each other during that time period. And the mutual aid that's being used right now to help families that are under this ICE siege, those mutual aid spaces were built during COVID. So our members have a tremendous amount of experience engaging with families and meeting the moment, because they started during COVID. So COVID is a lot of things, right? It's those things, and it's all of the things that you just said as well. What I can say 5 years later is that we grew from it, and institutions have to get better because of it. And in some ways, we are better because of it. We formed safety teams at schools during that time. We have sanctuary teams right now during this time. So there's practice both at the district level and at the school level of how you meet a moment together, right? So there are a lot of things that have come from that moment. And in any moment like that, you're going to get good and you're going to get bad. And you're going to get decision making that's based on the facts that you have in the moment in which you have them.
You still think closing schools was the right call?
I think saving people's lives, making people safe, was always the best call. That's what I think. And during those moments, those were the stakes, and that's how decisions were being made.
Another controversial decision earlier this year, just a couple of months ago, was to acknowledge the death of Assata Shakur. The Black liberation activist died in exile in Cuba at the end of September. She was convicted of the 1973 murder of a New Jersey state trooper and then sentenced to life in prison, escaped in 1979, and eventually granted asylum in Cuba in the 80s. On X, the union posted a message of condolence that got worldwide attention, most of it negative. What was your thought process behind that?
So if you look at the history of Assata Shakur and sort of her background, you find, and this is pretty easy to find, she was tried for various and sundry things 7 times before they finally got a conviction. And each of those 7 times ended either with an acquittal, a dismissal, or a hung jury. She has become a symbol in the minds of a lot of people of the problems that Black people have in the criminal justice system. And when we first heard from some members of the Chicago City Council about this particular post, we heard from one in particular, and I asked Stacey Davis Gates about that.
I talked to one alderman, Brian Hopkins, who said real clearly, you guys are educators, educate me, why is Assata Shakur a hero? I've read a bit about her, and that was his reaction to social media posts from the union. Do you think the union's posts helped educate people on who she was and why she's important to the labor movement?
If that's what they were looking for, it did.
Right? You don't think that's what they were looking for?
I don't know that. That's another good question to ask people who engage with a post. Did you then go and understand the dimension of that chapter of our history? Right? I was just reading the other day one of the reports that the FBI COINTELPRO produced on the Black Panthers. And they were referencing the breakfast program that the Panthers held down. And they were frustrated by the breakfast program. The FBI was, Hoover in particular, because these were his notes, his report, pardon me. He said that the food program helped to keep them afloat because people thought they were good people because they were feeding children. What I want people to understand is that this country has always been polarized. And somehow people have been able to create the ability to understand or agree to disagree without violence, without assassination. And that every time when this country is challenged, it rises to the occasion. I hope people Googled Asada Shakur and then thought about the $90 million that the city council just offered to the victims of Ronald Watts. I hope they Googled the John Birch curriculum that's supposed to be taught in the Chicago public schools that talks about the detention, the kidnapping, the disappearing of black men on the South Side. Because what we don't do enough is challenge all the parts of our history and to understand it in the dimension that helps us not repeat it, right? Maybe if the Birch curriculum was implemented more thoroughly in our public school system, it wouldn't be such a surprise that our government is behaving in detention, kidnapping, and disappearing of our immigrant siblings right now, right? These things help us confront, grow, and understand. So I hope people have practiced some curiosity with that post. I'm not asking for agreement. I'm not even asking for a pass. I'm asking for us to be better.
Stacey Davis Gates is now the leader of a statewide teachers union, but it's now a whole new ball game for Gates and the governor.
Yeah, that's right. She is certainly now at the head, at the forefront of a giant ground army of potentially hundreds of volunteers who can knock doors and raise money and that sort of thing. Not that Governor Pritzker needs any help raising money. But one of the things that we talked about was whether Governor Pritzker was in line to get the kind of support from teachers unions that he has enjoyed in the past.
Would you call him a friend of public school teachers and public school education?
Not yet. I think that defining the word friend in this moment looks more like what Mayor Johnson did last Thursday. Mayor Johnson surplused $1 billion to our parks, our libraries, and our schools. That is probably the single most biggest investment that the city has seen in the public good in that way at one time, and probably a generation or two. That is what we need. Because look at it, $1 billion, people are losing their minds, and they should. But he doesn't have enough money to sustain us while Trump assaults us, right? Trump extracted about $10 million for the Chicago Public Schools because the Chicago Public Schools put together a plan that repairs harm that it has done to black students. Chicago Public Schools doesn't have enough special education personnel to address the needs of our students. There are about 100 families on a waiting list right now. The money that we will get will go back into the very neighborhoods and the schools that need them the most. What an investment. But we can't depend on that investment. That's just to get us through, right? And so what I'm saying is that we have to make some structural changes. So when I say not yet, I'm saying put together a revenue plan that looks like billionaires who've just received a windfall from our billionaire president, put together something that helps them invest more. Because working class and middle class families are up against the wall every time they go to the grocery store. So our governor has to meet that moment too. And I believe he has capacity to do it, not just because he's running for president, but because he was our governor through COVID and look at us. Because he was our governor through the George Floyd unrest 2020, the summer of 2020. He rose to the occasion both of those times. He has to rise to the occasion right now. Trump has declared war on us. You rally around the flag. You figure out how to invest in your people. You figure out how to protect and support your people during this time. And then we make it through and we expand. Think about it like this. Every single time our democracy has been debated. It has been the chorus of people united, organized, that have pushed back on the idea that this project doesn't work. We did it during the civil rights movement when the fascist Jim Crow way of life was contested. It wasn't just black people out there putting their bodies on the line, but it was white folks putting their bodies on the line as well. There were all types of people, multi-generational, multiracial, rich people, right? You know, impoverished, working class, middle class, all came together and said that this democracy is worth saving and expanding, and we did that. We need him to lead that effort.
CTU, Illinois Federation of Teachers, a major player in politics in Illinois and a big ground game. Do you anticipate that the unions will endorse the governor? And at this moment, would you personally endorse him?
I think that an endorsement for anyone in any institution right now has to reflect the needs of the people within the institution. Endorsements should not be for the candidate. They should be for the people who need their leadership. And so a lot of times we don't deal with that level of reciprocity in how we come to endorsements. What I will say is that any endorsement that comes from the Illinois Federation of Teachers has to be an endorsement to ameliorate the second tier of pensions. It has to be an endorsement to tax the rich in order for higher education to be sustained, for, you know, pre-K to 12th grade education to have what it needs. It has to be for, you know, the people in the AG's office. The Illinois Federation of Teachers, we have members there who are doing God's work in this moment. Thank God that our Attorney General is taking the president to task every time he gets an opportunity. But the workers are doing the work to make that happen. So you're gonna need a state budget to sustain that work too. So we need a budget that reflects today's needs and points to an investment in ameliorating the big bills they have already. So an endorsement comes with an endorsement for that type of strategy and that type of plan. So I'm hopeful that the governor and everyone else that's running right now says yes to that. Because if they say yes to that and our members are saying yes to that and we're organizing Illinois for that, then we all win.
For political editor Jeff Buchholz, I'm Rob Hart, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry.
With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.